Welcome to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of November 3rd through November 9th. This is your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school and since then have turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B. I apologize for missing last week's podcast, but I was leading the first official City Witch Retreat in East Hampton for the new moon in Scorpio, and it was such an incredible experience. So we're now officially in Scorpio season, which is all about transformation, death, and rebirth. Scorpio is ruled by Mars, which is that powerful planet associated with the solar plexus or third chakra. So this season is likely to inspire transformations that ignite your sense of power and kind of how you exist in the world with that power. So since it is the beginning of November, we're going to go through our monthly overview, starting with the death card, obviously, which astrologically is ruled by Scorpio. So this is our first card of the month because I always go through the Order of the Golden Dawn's astrological ruling cards as the first card of the month, and then the second card we pulled from January 1st, the 2019 overview. So the death card. In the OG Smith Rider Waite, death is shown as kind of a Skeletor-looking knight on horseback, apparently representing the messenger of death. His armor is supposed to represent invincibility. And that's kind of in two ways, both in that we never really cease to exist, our souls continue on, and also meaning that despite any physical armor or preparedness, if you will, physical death is coming for all of us in this lifetime, no matter what. So the Skeletor Knight dude also carries a black flag with a five-petaled white rose on it. And the number five, as we know, is associated with the Hierophant and the fives in the minor arcana. They all represent life changes. So when you think about this, it's really that transformation, that like perspective and kind of evolution in the number five. And the white rose with the five petals, the white rose itself, is kind of a symbol of beauty and purity. So combined, these symbols paint a picture that's not so black and white. Death just isn't just about endings, but also new beginnings and transformations as well. It's funny because I find that the death card is one of the most misunderstood and often feared in the deck, and it's actually one of the most positive cards. I love the death card when I get it. It follows the Hanged Man in the Major Arcana, and while the Hanged Man is all about surrender and reflection, the death card often represents the end of a phase that is no longer serving you, and it's kind of like, you know, the Scorpio itself is the scorpion, and it's kind of like a scorpion shedding its shell, that it's outgrown, that it's, you know, uncomfortably evolved past, it's literally too big for the shell, and then opening up to a new energetic space for something more aligned, a bigger shell, a shell that's really kind of, you know, on our level at this point. So basically, the death card reminds us to put the past behind us in order to open up to renewal and transformation. This often includes releasing unhealthy attachments to people, places, or things in order to open up to more fulfilling relationships and experiences. As I was saying in the last podcast when we were talking about Samhain, which is, you know, October 31st, it's the witch's new year. I really look at this time as the new year. So as we go into November, it's kind of what is that transformation we're moving into the next year with? What are we leaving behind, you know, exiting out of October 31st and moving into kind of an up-leveled new version of what's aligned with us? In the Badass Bitches Tarot, this is Louise Hay, who is credited for being the mother of modern-day metaphysical self-help. And I love Louise. I quote her often. I reference her books on the podcast. And one of the things I loved about when Louise passed in 2017, her obituary and all press related to her death reported that she transitioned rather than died or passed away, reminding us that death is not an ending, but really a transformation. And I loved this so, so much. This past weekend's retreat in East Hampton was major Scorpio death card vibes for me. I have a very tumultuous love-hate relationship with the Hamptons. The closeted reality star that I dated had a home there, and I spent some incredible times one-on-one with her feeling madly in love and ecstatic, and I also spent a lot of times that were very, very painful. More often than not, that was the case. And I think back to countless parties that I was dragged to only to be introduced as her friend, despite the fact that we had been dating for years. I also have memories of waiting at the bakery across from her home with my dog in tow and all of my luggage that I dragged on the jitney to come see her because I had to wait for her homophobic friend to leave her house because she didn't want her friend to know about me. And in those times, I felt invisible at the best and unworthy of acceptance and kindness at the worst, simply due to my gender, just like completely unworthy of acceptance and love. So this past weekend was my first time back in the Hamptons in over 2 years since I broke up with this individual. And I was a bit nervous of what that would feel like. And as I led our group to a private beach off the property we were staying on to bury snakeskin in the sand, which represents kind of that Scorpio season shedding of what we want to release, I was just crying massive tears of gratitude in the process of this ritual. I sent a selfie, an energetic selfie, if you will, of this moment to my past self, who was probably drowning herself in vodka to numb the shame she was feeling in East Hampton in that relationship. You know, not too far from the very spot I was standing. And now, in the present moment, I was with 7 other women who were doing so much intense work to love and heal themselves in order to help heal the world. I cried for my past self, who felt hopeless and unlovable, and believed that the best she could possibly do was that relationship. I sent this postcard of this moment, and I was, you know, like just sending her energetic love, being like, hey, past self, it gets so much better. Remember how you loved American Horror Story, the season with Kevin? Listen up, girl, because basically you have Madison Montgomery's entire wardrobe, and you have an even more powerful group of witches with you than even Ryan Murphy could write. You have the best friends on the planet, from Stephanie, one of the most powerful healers I've met in this lifetime, and my partner in crime on this retreat, to my mom, who came to the retreat and worked her magical little butt off and opened up to new practices. I cried as I buried that snakeskin, and I released all of that pain and unworthiness of my past Hamptons life and took in so much gratitude for my life now, which I could not have even imagined back then. I tried to send my past self postcards like this in these moments because I believe time is spherical and it's, you know, it's always all existing at once, so that sending these present moments to your past self can really help pull her through. And likewise, when I feel scared or uncertain in the present, I ask my future self for energetic postcards or signs. And I feel like she's probably already figured out a lot of the shit that scares me in the present. And a lot of times the signs that I get, whether it's songs, dreams, I believe that that's being sent from that future timeline. So I try to pay it forward and send these moments of gratitude back to my past self when she was suffering. The others on this retreat and I had a classic after this We Are the Weirdos moment from The Craft. For those of you who have seen The Craft, we were walking on the beach to bury the snakeskin and we ran into these like two super Notre Dame fans in their matching jerseys who politely asked, "So what are you guys up to?" We're on a yoga retreat, one of my fellow badass witches responded. "Oh, we thought you were doing a seance," he laughed. "Just sacrificing our past self," giggled another one of us. It was pretty amazing and pretty classic. Who knew the Hamptons could be this magical? So to me, this is death card energy of just complete transformation of a place and experience, and evolving it into what's aligned for you now. That's very, very Scorpio, very death card. All right. On to our next card, which again, we pulled from the January 1st, 2019 annual overview. So this was Temperance. And Temperance is always a funny one to me because it's ruled by Sagittarius, which if you know any Sagittarians, I am one, we are not great with moderation. In fact, we're often known for being very excessive. But the more I studied the astrological rulings of the tarot, I began to understand that it's the Sagittarius desire to expand that relates to this card. You know, to learn as many perspectives and cultures as possible, which rules the alchemist, you know, and that's the alchemist is the symbol in the Temperance card. And Sagittarians really often are like philosophers, alchemists, you know, in some forms of their career or their life. So the Temperance card shows this winged angel who we don't really know the gender of. The angel has both masculine and feminine qualities. And because, again, this card is all about balance. So the angel balances one foot on the earth in the scene and, you know, showing the balance between rooting, grounding, staying grounded, and the other foot in the water. So that's kind of, you know, the other foot being in the flow and being in motion. And the angel's also pouring cups of water, one right into the other, representing the flow and alchemy of life. So I really love this because I think that a lot of us struggle with balance. And as a Sagittarius, you know, like I said, I've always been more on the excess side. And I think that when you get the Temperance card in a reading, it really reminds you, when do you need to go in there and alchemize, so to speak, and mix things up? And when is it more beneficial to step back, observe, and receive? So in the Badass Bitches Tarot deck, I made Temperance Gwyneth Paltrow, the gooptastic mother, actress, and wellness mogul who demonstrates that with balance and conscious moderation, our inner awareness will guide us towards fulfillment. To me, Temperance is also really about knowing, you know, when to make changes, whether that's walking away from things, when to put action into play, and when to step back and, as I said, receive. And receive can be messages from the universe. Receive can be, I'm going to step back, observe, and receive information about this situation, about what's unfolding. And I think this is a perfect card for November, considering the chaos of Mercury retrograde still unfortunately happening. It officially started on October 31st, and now it's going through November 7th with a shadow period a little over a week after that. So I think we'll be in the clear by Thanksgiving and the holidays. But you know, Mercury retrograde is always, it's always got its problems and with technology and communication misunderstanding. So I think that Temperance in this time period is going to really remind us to kind of step back, observe before we might kind of have that Scorpio like ignited in us. So, all right, let's look at our final card for the episode, the card of the week. Seven of Wands. This is funny because I just did a big Halloween event reading at Mirador in the city, and a lot of people were getting Seven of Wands. So I guess this has relevance this coming week. All right. Seven of Wands in the OG Smith Rider Waite shows a man on top of a hill holding a wand with both of his hands, kind of defending himself with the wand like a weapon. And there's six wands poking up from below him. So it almost looks like he's got the one and he's being attacked with six. One of the fun things I learned about this card is that the meaning of him wearing two different shoes in the picture is said to be that he was feeling overwhelmed and not really prepared for battle. So he doesn't have like, you know, a great deal of weapons. He doesn't even have matching footwear. And the sevens are ruled by the Chariot. So it is a card of victory. The Seven of Wands is really about perseverance. So even when you're not prepared, even when you feel overwhelmed, it's like standing your ground and fighting for what's right, standing up for what you believe in. And if something feels like it isn't working, but you know, you believe in your heart that it's what you're meant to be, it's what you're meant to pursue. It's really just like standing your ground. You know, the reversal of Seven of Wands can be too much pride. It can be forcing things instead of, you know, letting them play out. But this is a card when you get it that it really is. And it's funny, this working with Temperance to me is like being able to know intuitively what is worth fighting for. Astrologically, this is victorious Mars in the fiery constellation of Leo, showing that there is a win in the future, but it will be one that requires, you know, strength and discipline. It's not necessarily an easy win. It's something that's going to take some tenacity, some discipline to have it come to fruition. In the Badass Bitches Tarot, I made this card, Selma Hayek. I knew Seven of Wands had to be Selma after learning everything she went through with Harvey Weinstein in Hollywood and how she still managed to create such work and exist in, you know, in the film business with such integrity. She used that Mars and Leo energy to share her story and create work to further empower other women as a result of the battle that she came through victoriously. So I think that we've got some really strong cards going into November. And I know, you know, Scorpio season, as I said, can be tumultuous. We've got Mercury retrograde. We have some astrological energy that can give us a little bit of a run for our money. But I do like the cards that we're working with this month. So before we head out, to quickly recap, this month we have Scorpio leading us through that powerful up-leveling period of transformation. We also have Temperance reminding us to step back, see the big picture, so we know when we need to get in there and mix things up and when we need to step back and observe. And for the week, we have Seven of Wands encouraging us to stand our ground as a something that we know we're, you know, kind of meant to fight for, there is a victory on the horizon. And probably if that's not acquired this week, we're going to see signs that we're in the right direction as a result of the work in Seven of Wands. So Instagram Lives are going to be back Monday nights at 7:30 Eastern time. Again, if you are not able to make the live and you have a question you want answered, I will address it, and it's up on Instagram for 24 hours. So, you know, tune in or write to me, DM me to get your question in and get a free live mini reading. Also, I have some fun events coming up in New York City this month, so follow at CardsEB on Instagram to find out where these are happening, the location and the times for those. And a big thank you before I go to Melissa McQuillan, Misty C. Missy, for sending me the Masters of Light Oracle board game. This is so freaking cool. I love that there is a conscious and fun board game. I'm a big game night nerd. I used to, like, that used to be like my fun night in college because I'm such a nerd. We would all sit around and play Trivial Pursuit, so I am so excited that there's a Lightworkers version of a board game, and I cannot wait to play it. And also, as always, a shout out to my sponsor, Clearly Canadian. They're starting to become available on Amazon, so that discount card for Amazon delivery for CardsEB listeners is coming soon. All right, you guys, I hope you have a fantastic week, an amazing start to November. Happy Scorpio season. Thank you for listening. And as always, stay magical AF.